All right, it is Sunday, July 25th, 2021. It's 6:15 in the morning, and I am en route to meet a friend and his family, his wife and daughter and parents and sister, and maybe there's another person, I'm not sure. We've got 2 days ahead of us planned of snorkeling and paddle boarding and hiking, picking mangoes, other things, and I'm looking forward to it. I didn't have to. I mean, I could have, I was on a 4 day, I was last night at 8 o'clock was 4 full 24 hour periods where I'd gone without food, and it had gone well for me. I had just the right food in me, going into the fast, a couple of big salads, some of this amazing soup I've made with, all sorts of leafy greens and carrots and tofu and collagen powder and organic pasta, organic spaghetti squash pasta. Just a whole bunch of, Cholula hot sauce. I don't like using non-organic things, but I got some Cholula in there. And anyways, I had some of that, and so whatever the case was, the fast went well. I had just a lot of bouts of hunger, fake hunger. I don't know if one time during these four days I got an authentic hunger pang from my stomach. These were all these crazy, like frog in your throat, crawling, from my tonsils down to my thyroid, down to my thymus, the esophagus, along those areas where the succubus, this hostile, negative, etheric presence in me, was able to create all these hunger pangs and all sorts of other things, making my days somewhat miserable. But finally, after, I don't know, 5 weeks of summer school, that was over, and I had like a week or a week and a half window to see if I can't get a good fast in. And when I say good, I fasted at work before. Last spring, I had 2 months where I was fasting Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And that wasn't bad. It was good, actually. Kept me in a physically sound place. But what I want to point to is I fasted from a Sunday night to a Saturday morning in the middle of school, with all of my meetings and obligations and collaborations and instruction and discipline and all sorts of stuff. And yeah, I did it. It took a lot of resolve, but that wasn't, the downside of it. In order for a fast to be effective, especially, not just accruing cleansing, as Paul Bragg, the great fasting expert, said, you accrue, he called it nerve force. And that's like, hey man, I might as well call that Kundalini or Holy Spirit. I don't know if he was, so-called awakened, but he certainly had charisma and a strength of being. But in his own way, he was an ambassador for God. And he recommends that you fast in solitude. And I think that he's not the only one to say that. Fasting is a sign of, when you're trying to tell God something, You know, it's like you're not being controlled or overwhelmed by your social, environmental circumstances. And that you have time to direct your energy inward. And so if you fast without being able to do that, you know, with just working, not really looking inward, not really, you know, you're just pushing forward with your brain and not really kind of lying down when you feel a little bit tired and reflecting and just being calm and letting God speak to you, trying to listen for guidance, you don't accrue as much nerve force when you're not able to do that. And it was just super depressing to me to display that level of commitment to, you know, if I viewed fasting as the means by which to evict a succubus, then I was hoping that a week-long fast during the school week, during the school year, I would get some points. You know, God would, because God's evaluating. This girl gave her soul to me, and I was to be her custodian of her soul. It is, I would say there's no greater sacrifice, no greater demonstration of trust than to do what she did. Having said that, I was definitely, you know, since we couldn't be together, given the age difference and her being a minor, you know, her having sex with this other guy all the time and not talking to me because, hey, we can't talk. We're, you know, illegal to have any illicit conversation or anything. I really don't know her intentions. On the dark side of things, it was to control me, but, and to just to consume my spirit. I know she must have had an intuition that there was something amiss with me and something wrong or faulty, foundationless with her choosing me as a partner on the subtle level. Obviously with a plan, perhaps, in all likelihood a plan, well, possibly, I would say likely a plan to be with me when she turned 18. My every intuition and perception told me that her presence in me was overwhelming my mind and that I would be forever a prisoner to her, barred from God. That's what I felt. And I was overpowered and I was not an appropriate receptacle for her, a vessel for her. But anyways, the week-long fast didn't do much at all. I felt one day in the middle of class, I was supporting some kids in their class, you know, some special needs students, and I felt a light touching of my two earlobes, at the tops of my ears. And maybe a whisper of feeling at my thymus gland or a touch, just like a higher power kind of just touched me briefly. And that was it. That was day four. The next day at school, nothing at all. And that Saturday, I just was under attack from her and decided to eat, you know, having not gotten much of any spiritual response. And maybe I could have persisted. I don't know. I'll play with it. But you get I just know that it's much easier and you get more bang for your buck when you can just do it during a vacation time with no responsibilities. Or far fewer responsibilities. So this time around, I had a week and a half or so, and maybe it was almost 2 weeks. Not done with the 2 weeks yet, but multiple times a day, lying down with my feet up on the wall, letting blood from my legs come down into my chest and head, my rear end propped up on four pillows, but I'm 200 pounds and, you know, crushed them, so I don't know. I was elevated maybe 8 inches, I don't know, 6 inches, but, you know, a little bit. And it really helped because I did get more response this time. But it was just very interesting. I don't know. I mean, more response I got, I think, on account of my being able to rest and retreat throughout the fast. Yeah, I pushed myself to some intellectual stuff, cleaning the house, organizing paperwork. So that was good. But whenever I felt like it was a bit much, I could always just stop. Which you can't do in the school setting. It's just a grind. I'm just pausing too much. I'm sorry about that. I'm just driving through a town here right now with lights. So I don't know. Going forward here. Yeah, what was I starting this out with? I guess I could have chosen to fast the next couple of days, but I haven't seen this fellow and or his family in two years or however long I've been in Hawaii. Plus a few months before that, I didn't see him because he was in another area of Southern California. We kind of parted ways after a shared assignment at a school. I want to be able to go eat with them and partake with them and not be in retreat mode with them. I had no hunger pangs. I could have easily gone a few more days. My body was not telling me to stop. And I know that when I stopped, when I ate, I had some, what do they call it when you soak dried fruit? I had dried cherries. Organic dried cherries from Costco, and I drop them into a 64-ounce glass jar. Then I pour distilled water over it, or them, and it's quite good. There's other fruit you can do that to. Fresh fruit's better, but hey, rehydrated organic cherries, not too shabby. So I was. But then I had that and a couple frozen bananas that were organic. And then I started getting hit with the major heart explosions and rapid heartbeat. It jumped from like, maybe it was 70 or something, up to like 95 with a pause or an off beat every third beat. And they were strong beats. This went on for about an hour and a half. It was brutal. It's definitely damaging to my body. I'm still here. Would she have done that if I had not fasted? maybe not for as long. I don't recall. Anything can happen, but let's just say I was punished. The rules seem to indicate that she can give me a real whacking, a real spanking when I break a fast, because it's a display of weakness in our contest. So I don't know if I want to say a whole lot more. That was my summer fast. 4 days, four and a half day, four days and a third. Not much. And it went well. I'm happy with it. I'm a little bummed that I think it was on into the third day. So like 2 days ago. It was 3 days ago. Day two. I have to go look. But anyways, a couple of days ago, I had some Kundalini support where it was in the morning, maybe 6:30 a.m., and I felt woozy, I felt discombobulated, which are good signs. That means that you're coming into contact with a profound force that you can't handle. That's just very, very challenging. It's like, I've called it recently the unconscious mind, but it is that field of energy that I'm not aware of on a conscious level. I feel it, but my mind has not merged with it. And that's what this whole process is about, or at least partly about. But it just is like you're a ship, a little ship in an ocean with big waves and strong winds, and you're being buffeted by a force that is the conscious mind is no match for. That's the energy that the succubus works with, but not to the extent that the Holy Spirit does. That evolutionary principle that is also active on the conscious, well, with all these subtle energy displays that I'm working on and dealing with. Felt it come down my throat, into my throat, take over that, kick the succubus out, because this happened during the fast too. I was pretty depressed by this. Spent most of the day just pushing energy up into my thymus gland, up into my thyroid gland, and even had the gall to try to squeeze out from the thymus gland into these nerves or lymphatic vessels or, I don't know, nadis, whatever, but across my chest, and only got about a half inch and stopped. So at least she wasn't able to do that. But it's a choking, clogging feeling. But so God came in and kind of pushed her out of those two areas. I felt tension in my back under my left scapula, and also at the heart muscle, a tension where I felt distinctly a spherical area of her identity lodged in my heart, maybe the size of a nickel, maybe slightly larger, and that was definitely just sort of like, hey, I'm here, I can feel you. Invader to, my vessel here, or my, this guy. But it didn't go any farther than that. It was about only I don't know, I have to look, but maybe half as strong or less than half as strong as what it was last summer. And then it didn't come back again the next day, partly because I was steamrolled by her. Maybe that's when I broke my fast the first time. That might be it. Maybe it was Monday. And so I was super frustrated that, okay, my last experience of this last summer was in the course of the fast, God's etheric response or immune system response waxes rather than wanes. You know, my austerities are continuing, God, where are you? Well, the thing is, when this girl spends all night thrashing my heart and then doing major heart control and thrashing of my heart when God's trying to take over my torso, that is her sadhana. That is her tapas. That is her austerities. You know, I mean, she's just probably lying in bed there or on her couch just concentrating on this. And so God backed off. I guess her conduct was more convincing than mine. You know, and frankly, part of my problem is, yeah, the fasting's fine, but if I really want to win this, I need to have my emotions involved in a big way. Love and sadness, and probably anger. That doesn't come that easily to me. At least not these days. I felt so victimized the last 20, I don't know, 7 years by EMF primarily, but and then mostly dysfunctional situations in the workplace, and then now this succubus situation. But so I ate again, you know, maybe an hour, a couple of hours, maybe 4 hours late, and I said, 5 hours later, I said, you know, I just, there's other reasons why I chose to eat, but I ate, I broke the fast. Part of that was just losing faith in the process, because the two of us, this girl and me, are at war with each other. And God didn't come and do anything, even though I went, you know, I think that was on day two of the last fast. I think I fasted like 3 days or something around last weekend. And this time I went longer and got no response. And that's why, you know, this girl was working so hard for the last few days to ensure that I got no help. You know, she wanted to trample on any support I received, and lay renewed claim to my body. So, I don't know, you know, this, I'm still going to do the fast. I'm still fasting. That's still my ticket. Ticket out of here. Or it's a big part of the ticket. Partly, it's good for the body. I need to lose some weight. Cleanses you. Saves money. But also, it freaks her out and it makes her completely focused on controlling me and blocking God. And I want to make her control of me very expensive to her. I don't believe she can move on before I am dead. I don't think, while there's this contest, I think it's clear to her that I must die before she can move on with her life. That's what I believe is the rule right now. although I really embarked on the fast with the hope that, hey, or with the plea, you know, God, if there's a way to make her a constructive, supportive presence in me, have at it. You know, but I think that once you destroy that initial offering, reject that initial offering from the girl, and she breaks from your, you know, she is sent packing. In my case, it was like a, it was like a little body in me, head breaking off, and then exiting my solar plexus bindu point. But that was some serious stuff. I lost my train of thought. Yeah, so we got a contest, and I want to keep the pressure on her. The fasting helps with that. And I want, look, if you're a 16-year-old girl, she turns 17 in a couple of months. If you're a 16-year-old girl, I don't know, these days, 17, and you are a man destroyer. I mean, that's the negative kind of, that's the negative take on this. This girl is a machine. I have felt her have sex with a guy 50 times in the course of 48 hours with no sleep. Every hour, every, you know, more than once an hour, long sex sessions, and she can, she's like a machine, and she broke him. I could sense that. You know, with, for him, 50 orgasms into this, with her powerful energy, she's got 3 times the energy around her than a normal human being. Normal human beings can't feel that, although they might feel the bliss of sex with her. A supernatural pleasure. But what she's really there for is just to push the envelope for men. In every respect, God placed her here for that reason. You know, to challenge men sexually and spiritually. The succubus is a part of that, but it would have been far more pleasurable to share in whole body enlightenment with her and have her participate that and feed from. She could, you know, derive. She is. It is a woman is dependent on a man for his energy. Not that she doesn't have her own, but that's part of the relationship and the bond. You know, men give women their sperm and their energy through intercourse, but it's on a whole nother level when you're talking, you know, an awakened heart chakra and the power that is transmitted from that. Well, she taps into that. That's her reward for that bond. And she didn't get it with me. All she can do is just sort of hunker down in there and maybe feed off of some scraps, some morsels, but there's not much there. So keep the pressure on, and then I did, for the last couple of days, I've done a small amount of, instead of visualizing light and energy on my exhalation, going into my chest and abdomen, which if I hit it right, then it triggers a sense of irradiation of like a shimmering sensation in my chest and my heart and down my left arm. I've been more just using my, it comes from my pituitary gland, and I'm just concentrating on my whole body being a vehicle for love and being an offering to God. It's not really what I'm wanting to do right now, but it's definitely my intention, even on just a very small level. You know, I don't think my life is playing out for me to be a vehicle for universal redemption. But as I had planned, may have been the plan. You know, you're supposed to go for the big enchilada, and you know, not to say there's only one person doing that. There could be a handful of people at any given time who are true vehicles for God's manifestation in the world, and that's definitely the path I was on. But I got monkey hammered by EMF. Anyways, so I'm visualizing love, and I would like to be residing. My mind be residing in my chest. My consciousness reside in my chest, and for there to be a palpable recognition about me of something greater, of a testament to God's truth. It can be on a small level, but I want it to be unmistakable. I don't have to be, you know, supercharged and raising the dead and all that, but I'd like to, I would like to be that demonstration for God when it's safe for me to do so, and it's not right now. But anyways, I'm trying to stoke my emotions right now is the point, a little bit, at least in terms of my meditation. So I concentrated on love different ways, and I did feel kind of my torso and head align, pulling up to God and feeling my body kind of get a bit of a charge from that. That caused that shimmering sensation in my chest and in my heart muscle and down my arm, left arm. And that's cool. I think I'm going to do that for a while, because I know that that's when I really want to break out of this. I have to hit the emotions hard and really stoke them, because I think that's what it's going to take. I don't think fasting alone is the ticket, unless this girl is, you know, has punched out. She's really just off the clock. And that's only going to happen if she's engrossed in another relationship. And I'm not sure that she'll ever do that until I'm dead. She did tell friends when I first met her, because there was this recognition. Not much conversation, but she would do kind of community service, you know, stuff in my classroom, helping with my special needs kids. There's a bunch of kids, a bunch of students that came to help me throughout the day. She was one of them. But she had told people that she had pledged herself to me. And that shocked this one girl, this one alpha girl, said that to me, and with just shock and it was like a lack of ability to even comprehend that, as a young girl, to make a statement like that is very, very heavy. Especially to an older guy of a different race and ethnicity, you know, just really wild. So, just might be my luck that she is every bit the devoted spiritual aspirant that I was, and I would expect nothing less of her. But I am hoping. I mean, I don't really want her to be with someone else, but that I have to get over that, because this has definitely not gone well. You know, I need to just let that go, but I want her to be distracted in a big way, because it's during those times that God gathers force in me. It does. She knows that God is on the watch, And if she's not paying attention to me, then God increases the foothold of my control, of the Holy Spirit's control of this body. That's just what it is. If she lets go of the steering wheel, that's, hey, someone's waiting to take it back. So it would almost be a form of spiritual suicide to sleep with another man right now, which is just the most bizarre, fucked up situation for a girl who is built to overpower a man through sexual excess and psychic excess. Because what it is the constant contact physically of solar plexus to solar plexus, because that's what broke, was his solar plexus. And sexual and energy and, you know, subtle energies mixing. She will come to own that chakra of the guy. I don't know what that looks like. That was the hit I got, the intuition I got. You know, what does it really mean to lose control of your own chakra, to have it be broken? I think I've had some senses of it in myself. She tried to break my solar plexus before. She's tried to break my mind before. And they were horrific experiences. Horrific for me. Luckily, I think I flew to Hawaii then. But there have been some other episodes, especially the solar plexus. So her not being able to have sex or a relationship with a real, palpable, touchable male has got to be hard on her. And I'm sorry about that. But that's what it is right now. So I don't know. I'm hoping that she loses it. Just has to make a decision between her body and the people around her and her soul, which is me. And she won't be able to, if she can't break free from me, then that's going to be quite a, if she can't break me, destroy me, vis-a-vis my circulatory system, especially. And that she may choose the world around her. I just hope she can't afford to come to Hawaii when she graduates and live here. That would be horrific. I don't want to have to uproot myself again. Run away when she's just perhaps going to follow. But I'm going to keep the pressure on and hoping that she drops the ball and then hoping to maybe stoke some emotions in me to increase my level of vitality and emotional, spiritual, worthiness of God's salvation. I don't know where this will play out. And it is, I think, overall, it's a very good sign that my plea for support Monday of this past week, God came in and moderated her influence in me. He put a wall, a subtle layer of security, of protection inside of me. Across my chest and down into my solar plexus. That effectively reduced her force by 50%. Reduced the force of her incoming etheric reinforcements into my solar plexus and my back by maybe 50%. I think that's dropped to like 25% now over the course of four days or 5 days. I'm hoping that God's still attending to that and that it's not going to weaken further, and that where it is right now is the minimum support I need. But I ask for support. I really just ask for protection of my circulatory system, which is on the ropes. And that is my weak link in all of this, because that is where Amrit Nadi, that's the path that connects us in terms of the current, that kernel of energy of hers, that kernel of subtle force in my heart, that is an awareness, that is a blockage and a disruption of Amrit Nadi within me, and then that conduit to, I don't know, eternity or whatever it is, you know, transcendental existence or, you know, pure consciousness. But, so her ability to cause eruptions in my chest is reduced, I would say right now, by, I don't know, 25, 30, 40%. Otherwise, this morning would have been far more disruptive. It was just, it was very bad. She really went at it with, like I said, 95 BPM with harsh beats. Not cool. Not good for you. And but God gave me some protection, which He didn't have to do. He did not have to do it. That's I talked about it in my web post, but the way it was I woke up at like 11 o'clock at night, Monday night of this past week, and I found that I couldn't breathe without consciously attending to it. The automatic or autonomic, whatever the word is, the autonomic functioning of my lungs was disrupted for about an hour. Something was going on. I was anxious, like, was this girl, had she found a way to disrupt my breathing? Because I could not breathe unless I paid attention to the breath. I wouldn't breathe without attending to it. And so I felt, this is the most devilish attack on me yet. If it, you know, if I can't breathe when I sleep, or if I can't breathe unless I'm consciously aware of the breathing, then I'll never be able to sleep. And so I was freaking out about it. And I was saying, this girl has done something. But I did some kriyas. I didn't feel any tension in me. You know, it wasn't her. It didn't, not, I could discern no involvement of her in whatever was going on. And then around midnight, an hour later, it kind of ebbed. And then later that night and the next morning, I realized, hey, I've got a new layer of support in me that is muting this girl's effect on me. It also muted my ability to consciously connect to my heart muscle. It was like a wall of separation. But the main thing, which I didn't really care for that, but the main thing was protecting my heart muscle, and it was definitely doing that. So I got help maybe 3 hours after, or just a couple of hours after praying for it. In a big, I had a major, you know, 15-minute monologue, or like a dialogue with God. God, that's how God spoke back to me, responded. So I'm been given not really a new lease. I'm still very much impaired by this relationship. With this, you know, inverse of an astral body. That's what I see it. That's how I see it. It's an inverse. This is its inverse. It's the opposite of the good stuff, and we call that succubus. But it's the karmic comeback from something horrific on the subtle level occurring to her. So I am hopeful and mildly optimistic that I'll be able to carry on at least for the next year and try to maybe eat more consciously and fast a few days a week, and again keep the pressure on her and just hope for some change. And maybe I can start to accrue more, a greater reserve of physiologic health and subtle energy to the point that God chooses to emancipate me. But I have, there's usually got to be a profound demonstration to elicit God's involvement. And we'll see if that happens. In the meantime, maybe I can keep up with my writings a bit and take care of them. I help my mom on a regular basis, and I spent 45 minutes on the phone with her, walking her through the installation of a new virtual private network application for her Mac, her Apple computer, and has some great features, but she's pretty slow with a whole bunch of these things, so that took 45 minutes. You know, I can do that. Even though she's in California, I'm in Hawaii, I owe it to her as my mother to be as supportive as I can to her, despite what spiritual challenges I face. And that's it. I wish everyone success on their spiritual paths. May they find the truth, the knowledge, the peace, the fulfillment, the love that they seek, and may they embody that in their lives and be a demonstration to others of that this world was created by God, and we were born to realize God.